Psalm 1. I'm going to preach down here this morning. It's a little easier on the camera angle and all here. We do have folks unable to come, wanting to view. And so we greet you this morning and say hello to you and hope that you're watching. We do have, again, quite a few sick folks as well. So we want to do that. Psalm 1 this morning. Psalm 1, I want to help us with some things as we kickstart off this new year. Anybody have any resolutions? Anybody make resolutions? A few of you. Anybody make resolutions over here? Perfect crowd over here. Anybody over here? Anybody in the middle make resolutions? Anybody set goals? A few of you say, I set goals. I'll do resolutions. Anybody new habits? You start habits or something like that? New habits. I do goals and habits. Anybody should be setting goals and should be starting things and all? How many of you, that's your resolution, start new goals? And so we're help you out a little bit here. On the back, I think it printed well enough. You can see that. I want to help you. I want to really and truly help you. I almost preached this last week, and I just felt led not to. Psalm chapter 1 here. We're recording back there, guys. Psalm 1. Stand if you're willing and able as we read God's Word together. And I want to help you this morning. Verse 1, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. His delight is in the law of the Lord. There's a negative in verse 1, and there's a positive in verse 2. And in his law or his word does he meditate day and night. And he'll be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and his leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Would you pray with me right now, Father? As our heads are bowed, we come to you this morning asking you to help us and speak to our hearts. I pray, Father, that you'd get all the honor and the glory this morning for what's done. I pray that you'd help us to be committed to the Bible. Not just the thought of the Bible, not the idea of the Bible, not just the physical Bible in our hands, the representation on our tablet or our phone, but that we would be committed to having your word in our heart, your word in our mind, your word in our mouth. I pray that you'd speak to us right now. Speak to every heart. Be with the kids in the back and our junior church and it's going on. I pray to help them to understand the gospel and grace, what it means to be a believer and a follower of Christ and how to grow and take those steps. We love you. We need you right now. I pray you'd speak to us. Spirit of God, use me and fill me, I pray. May the things that I say honor you, Lord. I pray as I'm preaching on the outside, you'll be preaching on the inside. I ask it in Jesus' precious name. And amen. You can be seated. You can be seated. I've entitled this, A New Look at the Old Book. A New Look at the Old Book. It's a familiar passage, perhaps some of you who've gone around, been around church and all, and some of you is not. It is my simple contention to you that out of the great big book of the Psalms here, in this collection, Psalms divided into five sub-books here, and each one of those, it's not fair to call them a chapter. They're not really chapters. They're just individual Psalms. They were meant to be sung. It's interesting, again, in my studies, I've gone through literally pretty far. I've gone about 137 of the Psalms I've studied out. It took me almost 5 years. As I've gone back through, I'm more convinced than ever that Psalm 1 and Psalm 2 are really just two sides of the same page. They're stated differently, but they are really and truly saying the same things. In Psalm 1 is the thesis, and 2 are the thesis for the book. They set the book out. They set what's going out. And in reality, they set a tone and some wisdom that all of us need to buy into. They set out some universal principles of life. And so as they would have learned these and sung these and memorized these and meditated on these, they would have understood just how significant that they are. And they start off with that one word there, and I want to park there for a second. They start off with that word there of blessed. Of blessed. Some of you grew up in the South. You heard an expression, well, bless your heart. Now, we've turned that to an insult now, right? If someone says, well, bless your heart, we usually mean you're an idiot, right? Nod your head if anybody's ever looked at you and said, well, bless your heart. And you're thinking, that wasn't a nice thing to say to me, was it? And we'll have some folks, we call it Christian cursing. Some of you have been around church enough, but folks who know the Lord should have put away ugly language, profanity and all. But every now and then, they just get there, and so they'll say something silly like, well, bless. And again, still doesn't sound like a good idea, does it? And we'll say these kind of things here. But one word that is not contaminated is the word blessing. Word blessing. Now, unless you live at our house, and then we'll say, hey, would you be a blessing and go get me a donut? Would you be a blessing and fill up my glass? Would you be a blessing and fold the laundry? Anybody, now at your house, anybody use the word that way? Would you be a blessing? How many of you are going to start using it now? And a few of you like that. We're not talking about anything that has any negative side to it. We're simply talking about blessing. The word there is interesting to me. It's not just blessed, it's blessedness. It's plural. It's plural. It's not just a donut hole from Dunkin' Donuts. It's a whole box of them. It's not just a dollar bill. It's a bag full of them. It's not just a MacBook Pro with the new function keys. It's a whole box of them. It's not just a brand new car. It's a whole fleet of them. It is blessings. Plural. It is a great big bag of God's best to you. Now, I don't know about you, but my attention is now. He's got it. If he says blessing, I'm interested in whatever's coming next. If you are that way, would you say amen this morning? If God's fixing to tell me how to receive his blessings, then I want to know. Anybody not want to know? Anybody not want to know? Some of you are not tuned in too good right now. I want to know, so I'm interested here. I'm very, very interested in what God has to say to me this morning. I'm interested in what he has for me. Let me give you a little quote here that'll help you a little bit. The blessings of God to me are directly related to the word of God in me. The blessings of God to me, according to Psalm 1, are going to be directly related to the word of God in me. The blessings of God to me are going to be directly related to the word of God in me. In my mind, and in my heart, and in my mouth. God's word in my mind, I memorize it. God's word in my mouth as I learn to say it and repeat it and read it. God's word in my heart as I begin to obey it. As I begin to obey it. It's the interesting thing, the interesting phenomenon. They talk about when we can't learn things anymore. Can't learn things anymore. But some of you over Christmas holidays, you watched a movie you had not seen in 12 calendar months, and you started quoting said movie as it began to play on the screen. You knew the scenes and the actors. You knew what the song was going to be. You knew those things. We can learn God's word. We can memorize God's word. We can apply God's word. Somebody says, well, I want God to bless me apart from his word. The scriptures know none of that. No, none of that. Now, the rain does fall on the just and the unjust, and God does have common grace to all men. But if you want God's blessings, a great big bag of plural blessedness here, then you're going to have to follow what he sets out for us in these first three verses. Now, again, I'm interested. I want to start the year right. I want to live my life correctly. I want to experience, undeservedly so, the blessings of God to me, so I'm very interested there. You see, if you understand it, see, my relationship to the Word of God and the God of the Word always ends up this way. It always ends up in different roads. You can mark it down. Folks I went to Christian high school with, Christian college with, folks I grew up with, the difference is their life's not been education, so to speak, or they went to a better school or something. It's not been money opportunities. It's been their relationship to the Bible. When you've listened to God, when you listen to God's word, it's either blessed you or it's broke you. It's either benefited you or it's cursed you. You've either bent your body to it and you've been broken upon it. You just don't, it doesn't work any other way. Nobody says, well, I know what God says here. I'm just going to do my own thing. God doesn't care. No, God really does care. You end up in a very different road, very different road. My heart's been for young people and for college-age students for so long because I see them making choices about the relationship to the Bible. And many time, many times, man, they're making a terrible decision. And it breaks mom and dad's heart, and it breaks grandma and grandpa's heart, and it breaks the youth pastor and the pastor's heart. And we're screaming, no, 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 you're going down a different road, and it will not end well. Why? Because the relationship to the Word of God and the God of the Word always ends different roads, always ends typically in different lives. Different lives. I wouldn't give you anything for 20 years Andrea and I have spent together. 20 and a half years, I know, honey. I wouldn't give you anything for the ups and downs and the highs and lows and the babies and the funerals. And I wouldn't give you anything. I wouldn't give you anything for friends I have. I wouldn't give you anything for the, I wouldn't give you anything the last 2.5 years here. Hard years, difficult years many times. I don't give you anything for the relationships we established here. That doesn't have anything to do with us throwing a dart at an atlas and saying, okay, we're hit Knoxville. I reckon we'll head there. There's a relationship to the Word of God. Some of you, your life is so different because you've been reading God's Word and letting God's Word get in your heart and in your mind and in your mouth, and it has changed your life. Some of you are different than you were last year and the years before. Some of you, even now, you look back and you see just the progression that's there. Some of you have siblings and coworkers, and they didn't listen to the Scripture, and you see how very different their lives are. It'll change your life. It'll change. It's a different road, it's a different life. It's a different eternity. It's a different eternity. You would get right down to it. Proverbs, we looked at this a little bit Wednesday night as we're doing the old truths, new wisdom from old Proverbs. As we're looking this, I'm sorry, old wisdom for a new year is what I called it. Old wisdom for a new year. If you're free on Wednesday night, you need to be here. We're having a blast. We just started looking at the book of Proverbs. We're going to be tearing it apart. It's going to be awesome. I want you to do that. And I'm not saying that because I preach. I'm saying it because it's just tremendous dynamite material, wisdom and all. But Proverbs says something interesting. It says how you treat your Bible, Proverbs 13, is how you treat the Lord. What you think of His Word is a reflection of your heart, how you think of God Himself. Why? Because He said His Word above His name. So when we're talking about this, we're talking about that the just shall live by faith. We're talking about that you must be born again. We're talking about that Christ is the only Son of God. He's the only one who has redeemed us and died for our sins. He's the only one who can save us from ourselves and can place us, and place us where we need to be. He is the only one who can do that. And you get that from the Bible. Get there from the Bible. Then you can cross your fingers and hope so. The Bible doesn't have a hope so. The Bible has a no so. And so the different eternities for certain, different eternities. So let's help you out here. A couple of things here. John Phillips says this is the blessed man. He's got three kind of alliterated things there. And I've these are his and mine. But anyway, I love that. Blessed man. We're just going to look at those first three verses. Can you hang with me for three verses? We got the heat on because it's like 12 degrees outside. But I got three or four of you nodding pretty hard. Can you hang with me for three verses? You with me? You with me? You good? You good, everybody? Everybody's on their tablet. Be on the Bible now. All right. So he starts us off here. Number one, he says, he is separated from the world. I'm separated from the world. Now, this is counterintuitive. Look at verse 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scornful. We have three pairs there, or three sets there. Let me help you out with them. He talks about walking, sitting, and standing. If you underline or highlight in your Bible, would you do that? If you got a tablet, can you do that one color there? And then he talks about the ungodly, he talks about the sinners, and he talks about the scornful. So let me define those for you real fast, okay? He talks about these three things. He starts off and he says, he is separated. He is separated from the world. He's separated from the world. He mentions a progression there. He mentions a progression. Let me give these to you so you can write them down. His path, he's separated from the world. He doesn't listen to the ungodly man. He doesn't linger with the sinful man. Number one, he doesn't listen. The Bible says he walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. I can do a lot of explaining here. Let me just simply help. This is the thought process and the philosophy. He's not bowing his ear to the folks who don't know God. Folks who don't know God. That's why it's important. our graduates the last couple of years. I've given them a book on apologetics, given them a book on what does it mean for their faith. I've tried to send things. I want to keep doing that. I want to pray that way. I've done that for 20-some years of ministry here. Why? Because there are lots of ungodly people out there offering their counsel. We were watching some old show, Thursday night. Watching some old show Thursday night there, and it was so blatant, the absolute social propaganda that was coming across, and the humanistic propaganda and the ungodly propaganda. And it was on a show marketed to young people. And we were sitting here, we're kind of watching it, and we're starting to clock it a little bit. And I go, they're just so blatant in what they're saying. I can't believe it. And we pause and explain a little bit to the kids, and we're just pointing it out. And I'm saying to us that you have no shortage of people trying to tell you the wrong thing and the wrong opinion of things. And the Bible says you want to be blessed. You want to have God's blessing. You make a decision now that they don't get your ear. That they don't get your heart. Boy, be careful. We got to be careful. How many of you right now, you know some people, some things, some television programs, some books, some literature, some Facebook pages, some websites and all that are just pumping things out that are anti-Bible and anti-God. And they want your heart and they want your spirit. I never forget, we were visiting a missionary. Again, if you're in a foreign country, everybody looks like a missionary. We were visiting a missionary family in Cuba. They'd volunteered. What did he do? He was an engineer before God called him to preach. I forget what she did, but anyway, she was, both these folks, very skilled, and they're living just in a small place, probably from that PV speaker here to the edge of the stage and all. There's four of them and just bright, beautiful children. And the school was staggered. It seemed like they went to school like at 8 or 9 or 10 o'clock. They went to school almost like to 6 o'clock. Parts of Cuba, the different uniform colors, tells you if they're in middle school grade school, middle school, high school, stuff like that. And as they're walking or hitchhiking, you can kind of see them on the roads. And this one meets here. And they had on those gold uniforms, and they just were crying, talking to our pastor, our interpreter, and they said, the school teachers know that our children are believers, and they constantly tell them that they evolved from apes, and there is no God, and every day is more evolution, every day is more propaganda, and every day they pour it on them. And every night our kids come in beaten up, and every night we take the Bible and we try and share what God's truth is, and we are tired. So that's a good parent. That's not just a good parent. It's someone who believes that the pathway to blessing is not to give in to the counsel of the ungodly. Like, do not listen to them. Let me ask you to do a little check here. Your daytime TV, your afternoon TV, your nighttime TV, the things you listen to on your podcast, the books that you take in, the websites that you frequent, are they helping you or are they hurting you when it comes to what the Bible says about things? I find it hard to believe that the talk helps us to live godly. I find it hard to believe that anything come out of TMZ helps us to live godly. I find it hard to believe that death metal and anger music helps me to live godly. Can I get an amen from anybody in the room? Amen. He doesn't listen to the godly. He doesn't linger. Doesn't linger. He says he walks and he stands. Nor stands in the way of sinners. The ungodly are people who are willfully and persistently evil. Ungodly are willfully and persistently evil. Sinners are those who simply miss the mark, nor stands in the way of sinners. Notice again the progression there. Hey, this is not who he hangs out with. Now let me help you. Churches must evangelize, and evangelize means we've got to hang around unsaved people. Nod your head if you understand that. Unchurched people. Okay. But there's a difference in being with unsaved people and going down to the corner and hanging out with everybody. Now but nod your head if you're with me. And there's a difference between being around unsaved people, being around unsaved people, and them understanding that you are a believer in Jesus Christ. Which changes the tenor of everything, doesn't it? Changes the tenor of everything. Come to church. By the way, a joyful believer around people who are not Christ followers is a tremendous thing. He's talking about speak up, speak out. I'm not going there. I'm not just being wallpaper. I'm not just doing that. I want to go there. I want to help these folks out. This is how I am. This is what I'm doing. So I'm doing. It is part of that idea there. Let me hurry. Let me hasten. Lincoln doesn't linger. He doesn't laugh, by the way. He doesn't cooperate with the scornful. Doesn't cooperate with the scornful. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22, Proverbs 3, verse 24, Proverbs 21, verse 24 there. A scoffer, a scornful, is somebody who ridicules God's laws. Somebody who ridicules God's laws. The fascinating thing to me right now, some of the highest rated shows in America, late night shows, John Oliver, who is just as hateful as he can be toward the things of God. And well, it just so hurts my heart. So hurts my heart. Such a bright, intelligent seeming young man. Samantha Bee, who seems to have every advantage in life and who is just as broken as she can when she speaks to a camera, and how hateful she is to anyone with a Judeo-Christian perspective. And it just so hurts me. She didn't really offend me, as I just see the brokenness pouring out of her. Lena Dunham, whose show Girls is going off the air this year, and I say good riddance to it because it was unbelievably evil and vile. But the awful things she says and the brokenness in the book that she wrote, the semi-autobiography that she put together, and you just skim through that, and you see it, by the way, who is just deity on so many college campuses, the three people I just mentioned to you. And they're teaching young people to laugh at the things of God and to laugh at the things that are holy and to laugh at the things that are sacred. No. The blessed man has figured out what? Man, I'm not partaking of that. Let me help you with something. You want to do a real good check on this area here, when it's on TV, when it's on the radio, whatever it is, and they're laughing and mocking at the things of the Bible, and you participate in that, you're in a bad place, in a bad way, and you're in a bad hurry, in a bad need of getting out of there, getting into the Bible, because God is withholding His blessings from you. They do not scorn. They do not laugh with the scorners at the things of God. So He's got a path. Made a decision, made a choice. I mean, some years ago, I was listening to the radio, and I've been probably early 90s. Rush Limbaugh's been on the air a long time now, and it's not about Rush Limbaugh. Had been on there a long time, but at the time he was fairly new. He was going around the country and stuff. I was living in Raleigh, North Carolina. Fayetteville's not very far, Fort Bragg and those places. Camp Lejeune down in Jacksonville is a couple hours away. And I was going somewhere and I caught it. And he had been invited to Camp Lejeune. And as he's there, and they were training, and then they were training some of the special forces. And he said they were taking him around. He said I'm 380 pounds, 420 pounds, whatever he was back in the day. He said, and it's hot. He said, I'm sweating. He said, there's no air conditioning in the Jeep. He said, the commander's taking me around. He said, and he's not sweat a drop. He said, and I look like I'm about to turn into a puddle. He said, they're showing me this, showing me that. He said, I'm getting the VIP tour. He said, we get to where they're training the special forces. He said, and I asked him, is there a gate? Where's the gate? Where's the security? He laughed. He said, we are Marines. And we are, it's where we train the special forces. We don't need security where we train the special forces. If anybody's dumb enough to come, they're dumb enough to be dealt with. That's been every how many years now, I've never forgotten it. He comes back from telling the story, he says, and I sat up a lot straighter, made sure I kept my hands to myself. He said, because that's exactly right. He said, if you're training the elite of the elite, you're not real worried about a guy who couldn't make the cut, who's putting up a guard, who's putting up a little piece of wood with some stripes painted on it. They can handle themselves. See, why you tell the story? Because the Marines don't make any doubt about it. They want the best of the best. Best jokes, some best jokes in the military world about Marines talking about the other branches of service. Of course, the Navy always has the last laugh, or the Coast Guard, because they says, when all y'all stuff goes in the water, who do you call? And so growing up around the military, learned to laugh at those jokes. I don't want to serve. Dustin Cruz sat in our service sharp as a tack, said, "I volunteer. I want to serve. And that means I'm not going to be hanging out the corner with my buddies. Not going to be goofing around with those guys. I'm going to become as skilled as I can be." Look right here this morning. You want God to bless you, you're going to make a choice. You're going to be on a different path. I choose not to be there, and I choose not to be with these people, and I choose not to participate like they do. Now, by the way, when your mind gets colored to the point where you laugh at the things that are evil, and when you praise the things that are awful, and when you snicker at the things of God, then you got a real problem. By the way, you not only got a Bible problem and a blessing problem, but you got a problem with the God of the Bible. And you're in a mess. Number two here, number two. How many of you are doing okay so far? Number two, the big bag of blessings. Number two, he is satisfied. He is satisfied with the word. Blessed is the man, blessings, blessedness, it's all plural there, who walks not in the counsel of ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. The Jewish progression there, walking, standing, and sitting there to put myself under a counselor or under a professor or a teacher. And when I do this in this place of business, in this place of learning, in this place of hierarchy, where I stand and they sit, and they instruct me, I refuse to do this if it goes contrary to the Bible. I take my pleasure here. It says he's satisfied. His delight's in the law of the Lord. His delight's in the law of the Lord. In his law does he meditate day and night. He's satisfied. He's satisfied. It says God's word's captured his attention. God's word has captured his attention. God's word has captured his attention. His delight is in the law of the Lord. The word delight there is a fascinating word. It is a word we get our word desire from or fulfillment from. His desire in the law of the Lord. Some years back, a kind Christian businessman offered Andre and I a chance to go to California, and we'd never been, and attend a conference, and then we stayed a few extra days and traveled around. It was close to our anniversary time for us, and we got to do that, and we ended up in San Francisco. My wife had to lift the places we were supposed to eat, and so being a good husband, I said okie dokie, and as we traveled around, we were trying to find a donut place. And donut place, that it was a maple donut with bacon, crispy hickory bacon on it. It didn't sound good to me then, but it sounds okay to me now. And we're trying to find it. And we're trying to get the trolley to take it to us, but those trolleys are kind of, you know, they only go certain ways. And we're trying to find it, and this is on the list, and we're doing this. And so everywhere we go, we're asking, do you know where the bacon or the maple donut with bacon on top? And everybody responded the same way. No, but it sure sounds good. We ended up not finding the place, the donut place, maple. I'm saying it all wrong. Maple donut with bacon on top of it. Fast forward to last month. And there is a donut shop by your house that was open to midnight. After we'd been to a Christmas program. And my wife said, let's go. And we walked in and I smelled crispy hickory bacon in a donut shop. And with like a fat kid in front of the bakery, I stuck my nose to the glass. And there, behold, was a large whopper of a donut filled the top of it, bacon. And I ordered all of them. No. And I grabbed one, then they made me pay for it. And I grabbed one, went outside, got in the car, and my desire was fulfilled. I need a new quest now. Anyway, never had one. I recommend them to you, and if I can think of the name of it, I'll tell you in a minute. That's how we typically think of desire, don't we? Delight. What if I could do you something better than a donut with bacon on top of it? What if I could do you something better than a new car? What if I could do you something better than 4 or 5 grand in your pocket. What if I do something better than a brand new house? What if I do something better than that? What if I could say that the aching in your heart could be fulfilled? What if I could tell you that your plan for life could be laid out? What if I could explain to you that your fear about death and your hope about the afterlife? What if I could tell you that your purpose in life? What if I could, all the unknowns and all the questions, what if I could give you the answers in the Bible? Why am I here? What am I here for? What happens after I die? What happens to those I love after they die? What about pain? What about suffering? What about marriage? What about singleness? What about this? What about that? All these things, it has captured his attention. Let me help you. One of the reasons we're encouraging you to read the Bible and get those devotional books and get the Bible plan and get all that stuff going is because the Word of God should capture your full attention. You want to be blessed, start that morning out in the Bible. You want to be blessed, go to bed at night with the Bible. Teach your kids the Bible. Read the Bible to them. Have them read the Bible to you. Listen to it on your smartphone, your tablet, and all. If you're too busy and you want to listen to it while you're driving, but soak it in. He is satisfied with the Word. Most of us are satisfied with stuff, and we're looking for the next cool thing, and the longing of our heart says, I need more. Here's more. The Bible, God's holy word. And it claimed his attention. It claimed his attention. My brother may be watching, so I'll say this correctly, not ad-lib it. Brother's a brilliant fellow, very smart. He's good-looking, athletic, and smart. I don't know what I got, but anyway. He really has a good memory. But he still does the work. So what do you mean? He was last time it happened, he was having to take a. He was trying to crib out of a class. It means if you can demonstrate you have the knowledge, you pay for the class, but you don't have to sit in the class. I don't know what it's called. Well, we call it cribbing. Clepping out of the test. But he had to take the test over this whole book, 400 and some page book. See, stacks of note cards, question, answer. He has practice tests he made. He's reviewed things. He's reviewed them back. He's gone front to back, back to front. He's pacing with his questions. He almost been simpler to take the class. He gets a test, man, he aces the test. He comes back and says, man, I really overstudied for the test. But I know the material now. I love being around newlyweds and almost newlyweds. Because they're funny. Nod your head if you believe that. Let me help you with that, dear. Dob. Let me get this for you. Let me help you out. People have been married a while, you know, they're just, the other one could be on fire, and they're like, just, it'll be all right. And you tell people, newlyweds, almost newlyweds, they come to a party or gathering, they stay together. But people have been married a while, they come to a party and go, psh. You know what I'm saying? Then they find each other at the end, right? One, you know, whoever's got the keys, you know, they're looking for whoever's got the car keys, and it's kind of humorous. God's word here says what? Hey, it claimed his full attention. I want to be like that to the Bible. You want to do this? This is where God gets my attention. I love going to people's houses and they have an open Bible there. I love going to visit Gladys West. She's got her Bible and her book study out there. She's got some notebook paper. I love going to see Dallas and Brenda. And Dallas has got that Bible. He's got duct tape, man. He has wore that thing slam out as he has gone through it and read through it. He has put God's word in his heart. He is doing this. It claims your full attention. There's a last place I'm done. He is situated. He is stationed there by the waters. Verse number 3, he's situated by the waters. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. It brings forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Everything about that is interesting to me. I'm 46. If I live long enough, I've got 20 years, give or take, of a full-time ministry left, barring any anything. Any physical difficulties are God's pleasure. It's fine. I really want to do some things that matter. I'm not interested in just keeping space. I'm not interested in just taking oxygen. I want to do something. I want to do something that matters. If I've got that much time left, that's fine with me. I don't like doing things that don't end well. I've done some of those things. I've made mistakes. I've thought this was a good idea and it wasn't a good idea. It's just, I like hearing from former teenagers and youth group and folks where we've ministered who are still living for Jesus. I mean, that just thrills my heart. Our prayer for our kids is that they would love Christ and marry a believer and serve God faithfully in His church. He uses this metaphor here. It's like a tree. So you have study Bibles. The bottom of that study Bible's got a picture. They would take and draw out these canals. They wouldn't be straight furrows. They would be, you know, almost like a bunch of S's. Very Asian, actually. And they would plant these fruit trees right by the water. Not close to the water. Obviously, they would get in there. But close enough so that the root system will go down and they're going to draw from those canals. If you've been to Georgia, been to western Georgia, you've seen this with pecan orchards. And he says something that is uncharacteristic. Every fruit tree bears fruit, dies, fades out and bears more fruit. He said the person who is connected to the Word, who has chosen the right path, and who's chosen this pleasure there, then there is a blessing that is there, and that they constantly produce fruit, and that their leaf does not wither. It's always vibrant. Whether your fruit is a new believer or whether your fruit is of some service to God, whether your fruit is a character quality, whatever it is, he said, when he is parked here, he is like this tree that constantly, 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 constantly is producing fruit. If I leave the tree metaphor for a second, can I say it in 2017 language? Look right here. He's successful. In 2017, you want to be successful, you go to class, you get new clothes, you get a fancy website, you get people out there talking about your product, you get on TV, you get a late night commercial, you get endorsement sponsors, you get on one of the home shopping networks. If you want to be successful, you write a book, you get interviewed on Good Morning America, Today Show, you pay money for mentors and those kind of things, you get in a mastermind group and all. God says you want to be successful, He parks that at the end. He says, and you figure out who you're not going to be with and who you're not going to listen to, and you decide to live holy, then you decide that you love the Scripture and you're going to learn the Scripture and you want it in your heart and you want it in your mouth. Excuse me, your heart and your head and your mouth. You want to memorize it. Put it in. You want to meditate. You want to think about it. You want to say it as you read. You want that to be the descriptor of your life. And I'll bless you. And it'll be just flat out amazing what I do with you. We have the order inverted. I want to be real successful. Maybe hang out with lost people. And in the Bible, that's all right for Sunday. And God's gonna, you make a decision who you're going to listen to and influence you. You choose to be influenced by the Scripture. And I will just pour out the great big bag of blessings. Plural. See, in my mind, my challenge to you is this. I want to challenge you in 2017 to read the Bible. The B-I-B-L-E-S, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the B-I-B-L-E. Some of you grew up in junior church, you're fixing to yell Bible, aren't you? I don't know what you did in 2016. If you read it, fine. If you didn't read it, fine. read it. We've got a YouVersion group. We've got things for the teenager. We've got the devotional guide outside. We've got a, if you want one from last year, I think we have one or two left from last year. We've got what you need to help you. You want to read it through. We've got some plans. Read the Bible. By the way, all of you in here that make sure your kids brush your teeth and do their homework and put their clothes and all away, make sure they read the Bible. Make sure they've got some quiet time of their own. If they're too young to do it on their own, read it to them. If you want help with that, man, we want to help. We're going to do some things for parents this year. We really want to help you and instruct you. But make sure they get in there. Make sure that they're having their quiet time with God. Does it really help them if they're 18 and they got all this stuff figured out, but their spiritual life is ashes? Read the Bible. Learn the Bible. Learn the Bible. I don't know what that X means. Learn the Bible. Learn the Bible. Be here. Be in Sunday school. Be here for Bible study. Be here for men's Bible study. Be here when we do the courageous group. Be here, ladies, as you go through your Bible study. Be here. Learn the Bible. Talk about the Bible. Interact about the Bible. Ask questions about the Bible. Learn the Bible. Learn the Bible. We do not have Sunday school so we can have snacks. Although that's a good reason. We have Sunday school so we can help learn the Bible. Learn the Bible. Man, what we're doing on Wednesday night is going to help some of you so much in the area of wisdom in life situations. Learn the Bible. Think about the Bible. Think about the Bible. Put God's word in. There's a memorize and meditate. Meditate to a Jew always meant memorize. Always meant memorize and always meant say out loud. There was always a verbal component to it. When the Bible talks about they meditated on the word, it means they did their best to memorize it. They usually had it as some type of auditory function. They thought about it. Thought about it over Christmas. His grace is sufficient for me. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Our theme verse for this year, we're going to unveil January 29th. We talk about that. Man, God has been resting that in my heart. Man, think about the Bible. Think about the Bible. Apply the Bible. Apply the Bible. Put it in. Think about it. Chew on it. Memorize it. Say it out loud. And apply it. Apply it. People come to me and they're having problems. I give them Ephesians 4:32. Be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. I call that the couple's verse. You problems in your marriage, problems in your relationships, be kind, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. Because God's forgiven you. Apply it. Apply it. Read yesterday. Matthew chapter 6, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. One going off to college, one going to private school next year, 12-year-old car. Every now and then I think a lot about that. God tells me to think about him, think about his stuff, and he'll take care of all of that. That's application. Well, I need to apply it. I need to apply it. A new look at the old book. My challenge to you, will you take the four challenges? I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to learn the Bible. I'm going to meditate, think about it, run it over in my head, and apply it. I'm not asking you to start Bible college at your home every morning. I'm not asking you to take hours and hours. I'm talking you the first step, a good step. 5, 10, 15 minutes a day, Bible and prayer, and watch God start to pour out his blessings to you. Blessed is the person who does. Pray with me, Father.